Lloyd Roberts is a dedicated husband, father, and serial entrepreneur who loves business and investing. Before he co-founded a tech unicorn, a company with a $1 billion valuation, Lloyd had many ups and downs as an entrepreneur, with each new venture teaching him lessons about what to do and what not to do in business. In 2021, his tech company was recognized by Inc. 5000 as the 21st fastest growing software company in the country. Lloyd champions the idea of living an intentional life where life happens for you, not to you. He's become a cherished friend for both Neil and me, and it's hard to be anything but happy and grateful when you're around him and his infectious spirit. If you need a mood boost or a paradigm shift, you've come to the right episode. Lloyd, my friend, it's so good to be with you, and I cannot wait to introduce you to my audience. Actually, they already know a little bit about you because they know your wife, Billy, who's incredible. She came on my podcast and talked all about, you know, coaching, life coaching, and she even did some with me just on the fly. It was so amazing. But we're here to talk about you. So for anyone who's not familiar with you, How do you introduce yourself? What's your elevator pitch?
Well, first, I would prefer to talk with Billy as well. So that's we can just lean into that a little bit. No, my name is Lloyd Roberts. The elevator pitch. I've been married for just over 20 years, live in Utah most of the year, but also spend some time in Hawaii and in the rural areas of Cambodia. Entrepreneurship has been my passion for 20 plus years. I've partnered with my two younger brothers, and we tried all kinds of business together. Most of them just didn't work out. Anything from cattle ranches to auto dealerships to lending company, an auto lending company, to, you know, fix and flip real estate. I mean, we kind of tried a bunch of everything, and dealerships worked a little bit. We had a lending company, worked a little bit more. We thought we were going to grow it into a real lending company. And in that process, we knew we needed to build our own software because nothing was on the market that would really meet our needs. So we started to do that just for internal purposes. Fast forward 12 years, and now we have Loan Pro, which is one of Utah's newest unicorns. And it's kind of off to the races with some pretty cool partnerships with Intuit and Visa and a number of other lenders throughout the United States and Canada. And about 7-8 months ago, I retired as the CRO of our company, Loan Pro. And so did my brother, Ben. And Rhett is the CEO, still running the company. And we're off to other adventures. I'm managing our family office, so investments and all that fun stuff. And then also spend about half my time with our new public charity called Become More.
So amazing. And I don't think I've ever heard someone as articulately and succinct give that kind of an elevator pitch. I am like, that was so good. So, you know, most people that listen to this podcast know that, you know, even though sometimes we have people like you on the podcast who have these amazing success stories as far as the world, the way the world looks at success, you know, you wrote a book that I absolutely loved and my husband loved. It was just very transformative, and it's called G-Cubed. So let's start with that, because what I love about your book is that it just changed the way I thought about success. And sorry, what I was going to say about people who listen to this podcast know that, yeah, it's awesome to hear people's, like, you know, the worldly success or the business success. But what I always really want to know is, like, what's underneath that? What's the story behind all of the success? Or how did you become the person that has the character that you have? So let's start there.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you and your husband as well for reading the book. I know that's a real time investment, and there's a lot of things you can do for education and entertainment. So I'm honored that you would take the time. But really, my journey, a little bit mixed into the business world, I had a lot of good things going in life, but also some real challenges, like all of us do, right? Mm-hmm. My older brother, younger sister, and I were born with cystic fibrosis. And cystic fibrosis doesn't have me, but that's something that I deal with, right? And it can be It can be a struggle based on the ebbs and flows of sickness and health and the seasons and all kinds of things. Things were for the most part going quite well, but I had a missing piece. We just didn't have any money, right? And so I, like many people, thought, boy, if I have means, I will be able to do so much more with that. I understood the concept that money by itself is nothing, but all it is really a magnifier. And I wanted it to magnify my efforts in a very positive way, but I just didn't have those means. So me and my brothers and our spouses, we set out to obtain some wealth and make a difference, both in business and then what we could do with those means afterwards. But I really kind of felt in my gut that as soon as I checked that box, I would have all the pieces necessary for fulfillment. And it was slow at first, and then it kind of took off like a rocket ship, of which we're very grateful for. But it was much like your favorite team winning the big game. And it's like, woo, yeah. And it's exciting. And the day of is like a big deal. And a week later, you're still pretty excited that your team won, but you don't have quite that same emotion. And many weeks later, it's definitely that high, that dopamine release has definitely subsided quite a bit. And I was thinking these thoughts like, huh, I thought it would feel a little bit better than this to have a fat bank account and be able to not worry about financial, concerns anymore, so to speak. And I was thinking these thoughts one day, and I was driving home from work, and my little sister gave me a call. And she's like, "Hey, Lloyd, how you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, doing good. How are you?" She's like, "Oh, I'm doing good." And we just were talking for a few minutes, and then I heard this beeping in the background. And I'm like, "Wait, Susie, stop for a second. Where are you? Are you in the hospital?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I'm in the hospital." Like so, and I said, "Wait, when we started this conversation, you said you're doing good. What's going on?" She said, "Oh, I'm doing better now. As soon as your fever gets over about 105, your body relaxes." And she has since passed away from cystic fibrosis, but there was something about her and the voicemails she left and the conversation she had. She did not know if that would be the last time that she would talk to me or another loved one. And so she was constantly full of gratitude, and she was constantly in a mindset that was focused on those things that really matter. She didn't have to care about the other trivial stuff, beauty, what people were saying on the internet, all these things that sometimes we let get under our skin. Her days were numbered and she knew it. And so the things that she focused on were very different. And it really put me on my own little quest of what is the formula to become truly fulfilled in this life. Right? I would love to say I'm a religious person. I love Jesus. I would love to say that it is the religion that I've hitched my wagon to. But at the same time, I see people in the pews and at the podium that are filled with peace and miserable, intermingled throughout the whole congregation. And I think it's like that through all congregations. And so as much as that, like I'd like to say it's this specific thing, what is it exactly? What are the ingredients, right? And so I started on my own quest on, I didn't want to invent the most delicious cake all by myself. I just wanted to go and figure out, hey, you have a beautiful cake. It looks delicious. I tasted it. It is delicious. I just want your recipe. Just give me your recipe. And when I went to different seminars and events and listened to podcasts, and I kind of put media away for entertainment purposes for over 99% of the time, it wasn't for entertainment. It was for education. It was for trying to really hone into what this recipe was. And I spent about 2 years doing that. And as much as I looked and found amazing ingredients, hypothetically, people would say, "Oh, have you heard about salt? Let me tell you all the cool things about salt. Oh, what about sugar and chocolate and flour? And look at all these cool ingredients." And then when I felt like I was saying, "That's awesome, but how do you mix them together? What's the actual recipe?" And the answer I felt like I commonly received was, "Well, every human's unique. You have to figure out your own recipe." But you know what? That's not how my palate works. You can make a delicious cake, and I can like that. Right. And so I wanted to find a formula, a recipe that would work for all humans, regardless of your age, gender, political orientation, sexual orientation, whatever all these things are that can quote unquote divide us in this world. What are the key ingredients that actually allow us to have a life that's full of fulfillment. And this isn't in the book, but the reality was I was thinking these thoughts, and one day was running on the treadmill. It actually was my sister's birthday, the year after her passing. And I was thinking, what is it? And I literally pictured in my mind's eye a capital G on a white t-shirt to the power of three. And I audibly said, G cubed? And the next part's kind of weird to explain, but it just kind of was a stacking event, like, D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. And it just filled my mind with G to the power of three. And that is it became the title of the book, G cubed. And it's the only, I believe it's the only formula that you'll ever need to become truly fulfilled. And, I spent a lot of time in Cambodia, and they are a country full of Hindus and also Buddhists. And much like a lot of religions, I've enjoyed a lot of similarities between Christianity and, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and also these other religions around the world. When you strip away all of the things that divide us, who said this quote, and so on, what are the core principles that allow us to live a fulfilled life now? Right. And the Bible talks about how we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if it so be that we suffer with him. To me, that's one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible, because yes, Christians should lean into the fact that we are the children of God and therefore the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's a big deal. But then there's that big IF. How do we become the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ? And it is if we it so be that we not just suffer, because suffering is inevitable. It's going to come your way if you try to avoid it or not. Sorry, it's part of life. We all know that. But it's the suffering with him, that component of not suffering alone, right? And other religions have this same general theology that there's a higher power that we need to invite in to our own lives. So, I could talk about this for quite a while, but to jump to the chase here, the concept is that there's three core principles that we can lean in, all starting with G. The first one is gratitude, or the in or, re, or rooting out the inverse of gratitude, which is entitlement, right? I get it. We're all entitled to things. I'm not saying that we're not entitled, but what if for a moment we chose not to be entitled to something, to anything, right? To the temperature of this room, to dinner tonight, to have our spouse show affection as we ch would like them to, or our children, or our parents to talk to us in a certain way. Whatever the things are that we feel we're entitled to, what if we chose to be entitled to zero? Not the money in our bank account, not, all these things, right?
I'm kind
All
of smiling because I heard the funniest thing from Gordon
of
B. Hinckley, who was the leader of our church when we were teenagers.
Yeah.
And he said to a congregation, he said, "Now I know it's warm in here." He said, "But it's going to be a lot warmer if you don't repent." And the whole congregation just like erupted in laughter. So I'm thinking of that when you said the temperature of this room. But anyway,
Yeah.
keep going. Sorry.
No, it's great. It's we live in a society that teaches us that we should shout at the rooftops all of our entitlements, and then almost dare people to try to take them from us, and we will fight them if they try to take them from us. But the problem is, most likely you're just going to hold on to all of your entitlements, and you're going to have them all day. No one's going to steal your wallet. Everything, your entitlements are yours. But the problem is, you don't get any peace. You don't get any fulfillment from holding on to your entitlements. At best, you feel like something wasn't stolen from you. Yet, when you give up all of your entitlements, now without even trying, everything becomes a gift. And you're filled with grace. All the cracks naturally fill in. Now you're like, oh my goodness, so glad for AC or for a heater. Man, this meal isn't what I was necessarily expecting, but man, I'm so glad for this nourishment. Wow, when I walked home, when I entered my home, my child greeted me. Isn't that so nice? Like everything's now a present or a gift, and we're naturally filled with gratitude, right? I think we often, everybody loves the feeling of gratitude, right? We all love it, but we think that it's something that happens to us. And if we just so happen to be in the right circumstance, we'll feel it. We'll love it, right? We'll be able to cheer with our team as at the big game when our team wins, and we're all high-fiving and loving it, right? We're willing to pay big bucks for the to try to make a scenario that will be filled with that emotion. And it does come naturally sometimes. But I think what we forget is gratitude is not something that happens to us. It's a choice. We literally
Yes.
just decide.
The last time we hung out, you said something that Neil and I talk about now all the time. And that was, I don't even remember how, but I think I said, like, Lloyd, I think I was just joking, but I was like, do you ever have, like, do you have bad days? Do you have any bad days? Because you're just always so happy. And you said, I don't have bad days. I only have bad moments. And we talk about that all the time because it was so profound that you said that. But I wanted to ask you, this whole concept kind of challenges the narrative that I feel like most self-development gurus and books out there say, like, you make your own, you manifest your own world and your life and your happiness, and you say all the things that you want, and then they'll come true. So how do you reconcile the two?
Yeah, well, I don't reconcile them. And I don't expect everybody to attach themselves to what I found to be true in my own life. I pretty much ask people, try it for yourself. See what really works, right? If you don't sit around and wait for gratitude to fill you, go for it. My experience is it's going to be at best lackluster. But what if, true or not, what if you had the power to just decide to be grateful? Grateful doesn't mean that everything's wonderful and peachy perfect and that your circumstances are ideal. On the contrary, when I think about what I want for my children on my deathbed, what do I want? They're surrounding me. I'm laying in the hospital bed, so to speak. My wife's there holding my hand. My kids are all there. What do I want for them more than anything? Do I want them to have wonderful circumstances? To have beautiful faces, to have fat bank accounts, to have no problems. No, I want them to be able to know how to struggle well. I want to know that even in the midst of difficulty and struggle and circumstances that none of us would wish upon our worst enemy, they have the capacity to struggle well. And my definition of struggling well is the choice to be filled with gratitude. Because it is just that. You can be grateful for the simplest things. They don't need to be big things. They can be what somebody said, just a little joke that makes you smile. It could be the wind on your skin, literally anything if you choose. What's wrong is always available, what Tony Robbins says, but so is what's right. We just get to choose where we put our focus. You want to focus on the circumstances that are wrong, or do you want to focus on something that you could choose to see beautiful? So, in my heart, gratitude is simply a choice. We just have to decide to be grateful. And you're going to mess up. You're not going to be grateful all the time. But as you just mentioned, it's not based on a daily basis, based on a moment by moment. I can go, oh, huh, I was just feeling sorry for myself. I was just acting entitled. I'm going to stop that, right? The whole concept of repentance. We think repentance is this big, scary thing that we got to go before our maker and go, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so embarrassed. No, repentance is a change. It's a mild adjustment. It's a pivot. It's an iteration, right? How do you win in business? I guarantee we didn't win in business by guessing right the first time. We iterated thousands and thousands of times. What worked, we kept going there. And when something didn't work, we pivoted. And that didn't work, and we pivoted. And that didn't work, and we pivoted. And from the outside looking in, it's like, whoa, you built a $1 billion company. Woo! Well, we failed thousands and thousands of times, and we just kept iterating until something actually stuck.
How did you stay grateful through those really hard years? Is this something that you feel like you've come to know after, or was it in the middle? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I've always hitched my wagon to religion in a lot of ways. But really, for the first decade of raising our kids, I, in a lot of ways, was lukewarm. Active participating member, things look good from the outside, pretty much in line with doctrinal practices. But that real zeal came after my sister's passing. And when I really wanted to figure out what is the formula for becoming fulfilled in this life. And I wanted to write a book on the topic, but it's not that easy because you have to figure out what you really believe. And that took a lot of discovery and it took a lot of stress testing. And so in that process, it really solidified what I believed. And I didn't feel comfortable promoting something that I hadn't actually tried myself. So I leaned hard into gratitude. I leaned hard into the second G of growth or progress. I leaned hard into the third G of giving or inviting a light greater than your own to flow through you, right? To bless others. And the irony is, as that happens, you're blessing yourself. You think it's so nice to go serve somebody, and people can say, "Oh, you're so nice, you did this or that." Well, selfishly, I served my future self as much as someone else was served. Right. And so when you combine those three and in G Cube, there's even a worksheets to help you walk through the process of giving yourself a score for your fulfillment level, five being a high score, one being a low score. Yet there's a fourth invisible G. My wife and I have teased about writing a sequel called The Fourth G. And that is, imagine you're in high school right now. You only have three grades, right? You get an A in one class, a B in one class, and a C in a class. This is how our subconscious mind works. We say, "Oh, I got an A in gratitude. I got a B in growth, and I got a C in giving. Okay, I know I can raise my giving score," but blend them together. We all innately know that we got a 3.0, right? Or a B average of fulfillment. Yet the problem with this summation high school type way to give you a GPA is that it's flawed. And yet you might look at it and say, "I got an A and a B and a C. I got a 3.0." But yet we don't feel like we have a B level of fulfillment. We feel worse than that. And so we start feeling like, "Well, crap, I got an A and a B and a C. I don't feel like a B. I feel worse than that." And so something must be broken in me. Something must be flawed in me. And when you feel like that, it's real hard to want to raise your gratitude, growth, or giving score because you're broken. And yet we forget to challenge the actual problem. And that's the formula itself, because it's not the summation of gratitude, growth, and giving. It's actually the multiplication. And that multiplier, that invisible multiplier, call it grace, call it God, call it Mother Earth. I don't really care what you call it, but there's an invisible force that wants us to progress and grow and have light flow through us and to make the choice to be filled with gratitude. And I believe this force is God. And yet that's what changes the ability of this being the summation formula to the multiplication formula, right? So it's no longer gratitude plus growth plus giving divided by three, right? It's gratitude times growth, times giving to give you your total fulfillment score. So as you lean into gratitude, growth, and giving, if you choose to give all glory to God in the process, that's what allows the multiplication to really occur.
So good. So well said. Thank you for sharing all of that. And I just have to say, for anyone who wants to read this book, it's on Amazon, right? I think that's where
Yeah.
I found my copy, but you'll have to read the whole book because there's so many good stories and so like you go so much deeper into each of these. But I really want to go into what we sat on our friend Spence's couch and nerded out about for a while, which is become more, because you and I share this deep love for, a type of giving that doesn't hinder people's progress. And so I'd love for you to talk about that and why that's important to you and, what you guys are doing with Become More.
Yeah, well, thanks for the tee up. Not running Loan Pro anymore. Right. Rhett is the CEO, my youngest brother, and he's doing a fantastic job and he'll take us to the moon. So that's exciting. But if he does or if he doesn't really matter at this point. So my time's free to do whatever I want. And what do when you can do whatever you want? Right. It's like, remember going into Blockbuster back in the day before it shut down? Sometimes you get there at 7 o'clock and now 8 o'clock rolls around and you haven't even selected a movie yet, right? Because it's like there's so many options. And so For a while, I felt like that. But then we really wanted to lean into how can we make the most impact for good in this world, right? Primarily for us, our wife and kids and those that are closest to us. But that's not yachts and jets and planes and all of this stuff that that a lot of people think about when they think about money. Those things often fall in the entitlement realm, right? Not always, but often. No, we wanted to focus on things that would allow us to consistently be grateful, allow us to progress and grow. And you know what? Growth is hard. Growth hurts. You can't go to the gym and try to get big muscles without hurting. Right? It's tearing, it's pressure, it's painful. But then there's something that feels real good about it too, right? But that constant pressure or weight is part of the process of growth. So we knew we needed to do something that would allow us to grow. And then we also knew we needed to invite light and great abundance to flow through us, right? And I think oftentimes we feel, especially in the Christian world, that we first need to put off our addictions and temptation and crutches and get more in sync with God. And then, and only then, God will trust us enough to have light flow through us to bless others. And I would invite all of your listeners to turn that on its head. Look, realize that you have addictions and temptations and crutches that you lean on, and don't ignore it. Don't pretend that's not the reality, because it is. But turn it on its head and focus on what you can do to invite light now, right? My wife had a little sign a decade ago that said, "Whatever you focus on expands, so don't focus on your butt," right? So I've always
That's
remembered
so
that.
good.
And what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on our addictions and temptations and our crutches, how we're getting our dopamine hits? There's a lot of quick ways that we can all call addictions where we get dopamine hits. Well, what if we, instead of saying you need to get rid of all your dopamine hits, what if we said, what if you move your dopamine hits from these quick artificial fixes over to inviting light to flow through you? I mean, all of us, picture in your mind that you have the ability to go purchase and hand the keys to a new van to young mother, or maybe a widow. You decide what the picture is with a big red bow on it. You hand her title and the keys to a car. I mean, how does that feel? Does that not feel good? Don't you get the tingles when you even think about it? I mean, having light flow through you is fun. It's a hit. It's a good, but it's a sustainable type of hit, right? So we knew we wanted to do something that would allow us to lean into gratitude, growth, and giving. So with Become More, the first mission of Become More is to elevate levels of fulfillment through these same principles that we've touched on many times. The second part of Become More is to help decrease poverty, is what we usually say in America, but in Cambodia, we call it increase prosperity. Americans don't really get
Love
it. You
that.
say increase prosperity and they're like, "I want to be prosperous." They don't realize they're already in the 1% on a global scale, right? You could be, frankly, on welfare and in government housing, watching Netflix and ordering DoorDash with your AC, and you technically are in one of the 1% on a global scale, not in America, but, and so it's just a different perspective. So we wanted to marry the two. Those don't sound like they should be married, but to us, those were the things that really would allow us to put our beliefs into action. And so my older brother, Wade, he went to California 20 years ago, and he went on a Christian mission for 2 years, speaking Khmer, and which is the Cambodian language. And he fell in love with the Cambodian people. This is right after the Khmer Rouge, which, if you don't know about it was a horrible genocide that happened in Cambodia, where they killed pretty much all the people that could read, all the smart people, the educators, the doctors, the lawyers. They just killed them all. I mean, almost all of them, like 95% of them. It's pretty crazy. If you get a chance, go learn a little bit about it, because this was back in 1978, really not that long ago. And the ripple effects continue on even until today. So he learned Khmer. He loved the people. He went to Cambodia dozens of times, and he even did his dissertation to get his doctorate in economics on the economic impact of the Cambodian landmines. And he learned 15, 16 years ago that the 30,000 people that were dying on average per year in Cambodia, his dissertation discovered that most of them were not accidental deaths of somebody walking through a rice field and kaboom, right? That you think about. Most of them were economically focused. These were parents sending their young 7, 8, 12-year-old boys out to with a metal detector to find landmines, disarm them, take them to the Thai border, and sell them for the metal weight to get 3 to 5 weeks worth of household income. So there's a huge financial incentive for them to do this. Do this or starve, right? So Wade helped the Cambodian government change their economics with two major changes. One, made it illegal to sell at the Thai border, these IUDs. And two, he made it so that you could call, if you found one, you could call a number, the government would come out, they would disarm it and give you a premium for the metal weight. And the deaths on an annual basis, as soon as this got implemented countrywide, went from 30,000 a year to, yeah, this next number sound fake, to about 100 a year. Can you believe that?
Wow. It's
For
it is
over.
hard to believe, but incredible.
Really crazy. So we knew that Wade knew what he was talking about, and he already had the love and the respect of the Cambodian people. And so we asked Wade if he would retire from being a professor at the University of Utah in Westminster and become the president of Become More. He just got back from a trip on Sunday. He's out there for the last 3 weeks. He spent 45% of 2023 in Cambodia. We took
Wow.
about 200 Americans to Cambodia on fulfillment trips to see what we're doing out there. But all that to say, our efforts in Cambodia are designed to be completely sustainable. Right? A lot of people, a lot of Americans want to do good in third world countries, but they're really looking for the chills, right? They want to feel good about themselves. Oh, I went and helped. We drilled water and, we saw them get water and then we went back to America. That just, as good as the intentions are, sometimes, not always, but sometimes it doesn't leave the people in a better position. So,
Eventually, it ends
yeah.
up hurting more than helping.
It sure can. It sure can. And that's unfortunate. And that's, I realize that's not the intent of philanthropists and those trying to give. It's just, you got lives. And so you go there for a week or two and you're back in America and you wish the best for them, but you're in and you're out. You did your photo op, right? Put a couple things on social media. You felt good, they felt good, and it's over. So we didn't want that. So Rhett, Ben, and I and spouses, we threw seven digits into this new charity, Become More, because we wanted to do it right and we wanted to do it in a sustainable way. So we're leaning into three things. First, what we've done is we've adopted a village in one of the most remote areas on the planet, the remote region of Cambodia, right in the middle of the country. I mean, these people never seen Americans in person before. Right. And it's, yeah, you feel like you're going back in time many, many decades. It's a beautiful place and a beautiful people. So we've adopted our first village, about 1,200 people, and we're leaning into three components. The first one is health, right? If you feel sick, you don't really care about anything. You just want to get feeling better, right? They're the same way. So we're leaning into what does it take to get them to have a decent level of health, right? Clean water, wash stations at the primary schools, bathrooms at the primary schools, feminine hygiene products so that the girls can keep going to school. Their culture's different than ours. Periods stop them from going to school, and we want to turn that around and have these young women have the same opportunities that the young men have.
So
Dental,
important.
yeah, and dental work. We just got back from a dental trip. I can't remember what it was. It was just shy of 1,500 mouths that our dental team volunteers, Wade and Tyler Elmore and his brother Spencer Elmore, other dentists. We even took local Cambodian dentists from Phnom Penh, the capital, to the rural areas they've never been. And so they can have American dentists show them how to do all this dentistry. And they're making a verbal handshake commitment to after they get their degree, they're going to come up once a year for 5 years to serve these rural areas because they love it so much, right? So everything in the health category, prenatal vitamins, other things so that they can feel good enough to care about the next pillar. And the second pillar is education, right? We all want to be educated. And especially then, you ask Americans, oh, how's school? You're likely going to hear some pretty negative undertones. You ask Cambodians, how's school? In fact, don't even say how's school. Say, what do you do for fun? They'll say, I go to school. I
So
learn.
amazing.
And they love it because they know that this is their best chance of escaping extreme poverty, a buck 90 a day per household. And if they can become educated, they might have the chance of escaping this extreme poverty, which grips the whole village for the most part. So what we've done is we've partnered with the village chiefs and the commune chiefs. So it's not coming through the Americans, it's going through their hierarchy of leadership. And they have a very humble approach. And then they've allowed us to be able to use the primary schools, what we'd call an elementary school. We've partnered with them. So they go to school in the morning from like 8 to noon, and some kids can't get to school. So we lean into helping them get to school. Maybe they need a bicycle. Maybe they need a uniform. Maybe they need some small tuition or supplies. One of my favorite programs is called Attendance Rice. And this is where some parents would love their kid to go to school, but they need their labor. They've got to eat this week, right? And so they can't have their kid to go to school. They needed them to work. So we go to the parent and say, if your kid attends school 85% or more of the time, we will give them this bag of rice per month. And now the parents say, child, you need to go get that
Go to
rice.
school. Yes.
And they have high attendance. We're north of 95% attendance for those that
Wow.
are part of the Attendance Rice program. So that
Super
gets
cool.
them to school. And then the second half of the day, we call it Become More School. And this is English school. So the kids, it's the cutest thing ever, they're wearing Become More shirts, and they learn English from noon to five. We have multiple schools doing this. So on Become More's payroll are native Khmer Cambodian people that speak Khmer and English, and they're teaching English to the kids. Truth is, the adults aren't going to learn English. These are simple people. They're going to do what they did before, typically, but the kids will. And get this, if you're in Cambodia and you graduate with a PhD and only speak Khmer, your earning potential is in line with a Cambodian who does not graduate high school but speaks Khmer and English. Isn't that
Wow,
interesting?
that
So
is.
if we're getting a whole hundreds and hundreds of kids that have earning potential in line with those with PhDs.
Crazy.
So that's on the education pillar. And once again, that one's a money suck. The first two are. We've thrown, hundreds of thousands at both of those, but they're necessary. And you can't really lean into the third and final pillar unless you have health, unless you have the ability to learn. And then the last pillar is the ability to save, to create savings. And that's really the definition of wealth, is the ability to save, to have more money left at the end of the month than month left at the end of the money, right?
Yes,
And
I've never
so
heard it explained that way, but that's true. Everybody's lived through at least one period of time where their life felt like that.
Yes, I know. I know I have. 15 years ago, it was very questionable how we'd pay the mortgage many times, right? It can be very stressful. Yet the Cambodian people, they're so hardworking, and they don't want handouts. They want opportunity. And so what we've done, and through much iteration, like we talked about earlier, and through not just picking this out of our own brains, but talking with the commune chief and the village chiefs and the leaders there, and they have what they call a wise man, right? It's actually a role of the community. And it's like think of it as a bishop or a counselor or whatever. And people go to this person, this appointed person, that their job is to be a wise person, right? And they'll even help with marital disputes and all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And so we went to all these people, Wade primarily, and Tyler, and Tang, and all these great employees and team members we have in Cambodia, until we finally landed on what we call a fat cow family farm.
Yes, I love this so much. I can't wait for you to explain it. It's
It's
so
super
good.
fun. So think of this. Think of that if you're trying to solve the problem of poverty, which, by the way, we took a VIP trip out to Cambodia. We took senators, we took the president of the University of Utah, and a bunch of other big hitters to show them what we're doing out there. We just got a really cool endorsement from the president of the University of Utah that would love to share with you sometime
Awesome.
on how we're going about solving this problem of poverty. And this is how it's all hinges. The keystone of this whole operation rests on the Fat Cow Family Farm program. So first, we needed to pick something that was sustainable and scalable, right? If we told everybody plant oranges, well, it's not going to work out super well. They can rot. If you have way too much supply than demand, now the price of these oranges drop significantly. There's all kinds of potential problems with saturating the market. So we need to pick something that the market could not be saturated, at least not without extreme abundance. And so we're leaning into beef, right? It's been proven that when you're poor, you eat, your protein is often chicken and bugs. But when you enter the middle class, your protein slips into beef. Beef is in high demand. China wants Cambodia's beef. Thailand wants Cambodia's beef. Heck, Cambodia wants Cambodia's beef, right? It's very popular. And so most Cambodians, they have a cow, but it's not a cow like like we'd see in America. It's not like a Black Angus cow, right? We used to run a cattle ranch in the past, Longhorns, Black Angus, stuff like this. No, they have big bunny ears. And their bodies work different than ours and cows in America do. For example, if they get pregnant and their nutrition is poor, it just slows down the pregnancy. So oftentimes a malnutritioned cow will have a 20, 21 month pregnancy, and then it will pop out a skinny calf. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. Yes.
Why these are kind
Also
of
sounds
this breed.
horrible.
Breeds very popular in Cambodia because it's so hot, and honestly, they're malnourished, and so it's a breed that can actually work in Cambodia. And two, with malnutrition, the cow doesn't get pregnant till its fourth year. So what we've done is Wade and Ben have created this game called the Fat Cow Game, and it's really the program put into a card game. I'll have to show you it sometime. It just came off the press. We're pretty excited about it.
So
And what
cool.
we're doing is we're going to, through the commune chief and the village chief, selecting a couple that already has a skinny cow, right? Big hips, emaciated, see all the ribs, maybe 6, 7 years old female cow. I guess cow is female. And we're saying, would you like to sign up for this program? Cost $10,000 US dollars to stand up one fat cow family farm. All we need is to start with 50. They will multiply to about 175. Once we get to 175, the whole program is fully sustainable. We now don't have to, Americans don't have to fund the health initiative or the education initiative ever again, because just selling the boy calves to market will generate enough cash to cover the health and the education initiative in perpetuity. In short, in 5 to 10 years, the whole village will not only be lifted out of extreme poverty, they'll also be lifted out of poverty, and we'll have 15 to 20% of the village that will actually be rich because they will have 20 plus head of cow in of cows in their herd. So
Absolutely incredible. This is so cool. And this is something that I'm super passionate about too, the concept of trade, not aid, because I went to Rwanda and saw firsthand. I saw a village that was completely revived because, like you said, you have to build it within the existing community. It's not someone coming who's dropping cash, but you actually enable them to have their own ecosystem and then you just see things thrive. And watching the women that work in the handmade factory in Rwanda and how joyful they were and how they looked healthy and their kids looked healthy. And they had a farmer's market that for years could only be open one day a week. And then after they revived this factory and gave people meaningful work, it was a 7 day a week farmer's market, you know?
very cool.
So this is just like so near and dear to me because I've seen it and I've interviewed those women and I know their hearts. So it's just so cool to hear about how you guys are doing it in another part of the world, but in just as an effective way, in fact, more effective.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's I have to give a lot of credit to the Cambodian people. They're so humble. They're so kind. Words like karma mean a lot to them, right? They don't, if they put bad out, they don't believe that they can escape bad. It'll come back to them in some way. If they put good out, they will get good back to them, right? And so this is one of the reasons crime is so low. Because hey, if you're gonna go put bad out, you can't get away from it. It's gonna come back to you in some way, right? That's a core
Interesting.
belief of the people. So
Okay.
with these fat cow family farms, get this. So first, they have a cow. We then pay, become more for shelter, fencing, drilling for water, vaccinations, in vitro fertilization, or one of our bulls, one of the become more bulls, and then we also park another cow in the pen with them. So they take care of the become more cow and their own cow. We pay for the feed. They, instead of feeding them straw, which they're used to, we're feeding them protein. We've got to get them up to that. After about 6 months of feeding them proper nutrition, we can get both their cow and become more's cow pregnant. And now the pregnancy is only 9 months instead of 20. And now the cow can get pregnant every year instead of every 2 year. And now the calf that pops out is worth double because it's a fat calf instead of an emaciated skinny calf. So,
Wow.
in business terminology, what we've done is we've taken their small little business that they already want to do, and we're training them how to get a 5 times ROI and giving them the cash flow to actually do it, requiring them to follow our program. Then, the very first calf that pops out of their cow, typically the couple and the village chief and the commune chief get together and decide who else in their village, not a neighboring village, but their exact village, should be the recipient of this karma calf to start the next fat cow family farm.
So cool. What an
So they
awesome
feel like
concept.
they've made a real contribution to their own community. And then
Yeah.
every calf from that point forward is theirs. So it sets them back a couple months, 3, 4 months right out of the gate. But when you look 3, 4 years in the future, they're so far ahead of where they would have been otherwise. Plus, every calf that pops out of the become more cows, the girls will be used to create more fat cow family farms. The boys, after beefed up some, no pun intended, will be taken to market and they'll be liquidated for cash to help out on creating, more fences and more shelters and more feed. And then after we get to about 175 fat cow family farms per village, now liquidating the boys will fund the education and the health initiative in perpetuity. Americans can walk away, and that village is fully sustained on their own 2 feet.
Oh, I have like chills. Just this is so incredible hearing how just the impact that you guys have built into this. It is so cool.
It's really fun. Well, thank you for caring enough. It's way fun. We started off just funding this ourselves. We're not doing that anymore. And one of the ways that people can get involved, if desired, is come with us to Cambodia. Last year, we sent about 200 Americans to Cambodia, and I'd love to dive into some of the transformational experiences where their own perspectives and their own entitlements melted away as they saw nude kids running around in piles of trash, living in houses of garbage, right? And realizing, holy cow, I was caring about the fact I didn't make the cheerleading squad, right? I was caring about all these first world problems, and these kids are smiling, and yet they have all these third world problems. Right. So that's one way. Another way is you can adopt your own fat cow family farm in one of our remote villages in rural Cambodia. It's 10,000 bucks. You can even go out there, meet your family, meet the farm, see the calves. You even get to name the calves. All the sponsors get to name the calves from these fat cow family farms. So to finish off the first village, we need 13 more fat cow family farms, and we're wrapped and packed on village number one. And then we can move on to the neighboring vision. Neighboring village, which by the way, they're all very eager to have us adopt their villages as well. But we're being very particular to get number one right so that it's a repeatable model across the globe on any countries that are the third world, rural, and they don't worship cows. This program will work.
So cool. Well, Lloyd, you guys have so many amazing things that you're doing, so many amazing things that you share in your book. So this might be a tricky question for you, but my last question for you is, if there's one message that you want the people who are listening to this podcast episode to remember, what do you want that one message to be?
Yeah. The one message that has changed my life the very most is that nothing in this life happens to me, and that it all happens for me, even the bad stuff, even the hard stuff, even the ugly stuff. It all is happening for me because my objective in this life, or God's objective for me in this life, is not a life of ease and comfort and kicking it on the beach with a virgin pina colada, right? That's not the goal. The goal is to become more like God. And that means that everything that happens is getting me one step closer. So when you have that bad thing, that seemingly bad thing happen, and there's a lot of sad stuff, loved ones dying, cancer, disease, violence, inappropriate actions by other people's free agency that can negatively impact you and those that you love most. As hard as it is, but once you realize that all of this is happening for you, so that you can become more like God, even when it's horribly hard. It's hard to say sometimes. There's so many bad things that happen. I get it. But once you make that decision to believe that everything happens for you, not to you, you're free. You're truly free. You're no longer bound by anything because you now, no matter what happens, it's an opportunity to learn and grow and progress instead of why me? How could this happen to me? We were trying, and so on and so forth. When you reach for ease and comfort, you're disappointed when growth occurs. But when you have become comfortable with the uncomfortable, now you're free to become whoever you choose to become. That's the whole name behind this, become more. The objective is to become more like God and do that through elevating your growth, elevating your gratitude, elevating your giving, or the invitation to ask, look, listen, and take action to allow God's light to flow through you. Forget about all of your sins, forget about all your addictions and temptations and crutches you lean on. Lean into those three things and give all glory to God. You have nothing to worry about it. You're going to lay on your deathbed with a smile on your face and think, I did it. I did it. I'm ready.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Lloyd, for sharing all of this wisdom with us and all of the incredible things that you guys are doing. And so, where can people find you, find Become More, find your book? Where are all of those things?
Yeah, so Become More, you can go to becomemorecharity.org or becomemore.charity. We'd love to get you involved. Anything from making the pledge to all the way, we have seven different ways that you can get involved. We hit on two big ones of join us on one of our fulfillment trips to Cambodia, or even adopt a fat cow family farm in Cambodia. And then maybe in a year or two, you can go out and check out your specific farm. So that's one way. You can also go to gcubeformula.com. It's also available on Amazon, or if you prefer to listen, it's on Audible. I prefer the Audible myself, so I did the recording myself, and I love that one. And yeah, just thank you so much, Corinne. It's been great getting to know you and your family. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for everything that you shared today. It was so uplifting. Thanks so much for listening to Mint Arrow Messages. We're so grateful that you spent time with us today. Make sure you go follow us at Corinne Stoko or at Mint Arrow Messages on Instagram. And then if you have a second and you love the show, I would love it so much if you'd leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. That's the only way people can find out about us if they haven't heard about us before. So just go tap the stars, leave a rating or a review. If you have a second, we would appreciate it so much.